There are fascinating things taking place. I've got more testimonies to share than we have time to give today, so we'll just keep sowing them in each gathering. In fact, throughout the week, we're having things happen. Alexia shared a story with me that I wanted her to come and share this morning. That's your cue. And it's Jeff and Jessica, nice to see you back. Bless you both. But some good stuff's been going on while you've been busy attending to the affairs of life. And this is just one of them. Y'all listen to this and see the kinds of variety that God's given us right now.
Wednesday morning, I had a dream. And generally, I don't dream with my family. And there's a lot of portions to this dream that, of course, you knew that it had to be from God. I dreamt that I was in a room with my mother and my father. And my mother wasn't feeling well, but I could see her from afar that she wasn't feeling well. My dad looked at me and told me she's not feeling well. And I said, she's probably just got the flu. And my dad looked at my face. My father's not a believer yet, so this is not something he would say. He looked in my face and he said, pray that the Lord would show you what's wrong with her. So I looked back where she was at a distance, and I walked to her and I said, Mom, you need to spend 3 days drinking juices, clear fluids, something fresh for your stomach. Just spend 3 days on that and spend whatever time you have contemplating on the Lord while you're doing that. I woke up. So in the morning, the first thing I tried to do was to call her, and I couldn't get a hold of her. So I couldn't talk to her until that evening. And when I called, my father answered, and he later put her on the phone, and I said, how are you feeling? She said, why? I told her. Now, she's a dreamer also, so she understands when people dream things. But I said, you're not feeling well, are you? And she said, why would you say that? I said, is your body kind of achy? You feel like you might be coming down with the flu and your stomach doesn't feel well? She said, how do you know? Did your father tell you? I said, well, yes, he told me in a dream. So I told her, Mom, this is what happened. You know, I dreamt this, and so I feel that it's of the Lord. My mom is saved. I said, I feel that it's of the Lord that you spend these 3 days in some type of, you know, cleansing of your system and, you know, see if God will give you some kind of relief over this. So that was fine. Now, the following morning, I'm driving to work, and I'm praying for her, and I'm thinking about the dream. And as I'm thinking and praying for her, I see my mom's digestive system being flushed with water. I just see water coming from the esophagus through the stomach and doing just a lot of liquid. And I thought, oh, my God, how cool. I just saw what we do. I mean, what's been happening here, we've been praying over each other, and we've been seeing it, seeing the healing or seeing the process. And this has happened. My mom is in Florida, you know, tons of miles away. I'm praying for her, and I'm seeing this. So I called the pastor to tell him because I figured, wow, what a twist on this thing. So the pastor told me to follow up. Saturday would have to be 3 days. I called her that night to tell her about what had been happening here, and she was very much encouraged. She told me that her stomach had been burning all day, and she just really wasn't feeling well. So I told her, I'm going to check back with you and, you know, to get a report from you on Saturday, which would have made 3 days. I called her Saturday, and she gets the phone. She says, it worked. I feel great. She said everything felt refreshed. She felt so alleviated. She felt lighter. She was healed. She didn't have any of that burning sensation, any of the body aches. She got up and did her thing, and I was like, this is an awesome thing. So I praise the Lord for that, because you don't have to touch the person. You know, it just, he's there.
Dream a little dream of you. I feel defrauded. Now, isn't that a cool story? I've had several people report to me this week that they've been having dreams. How many of you have been dreaming things of the Lord in the last 2 or 3 weeks? Look at that. It's amazing. There is there's a visitation taking place around here. Started on the 1st of May. We had a phenomenon occur Sunday morning, May the 1st. And I had two of the people who were involved in it give their testimony Sunday at the Sunday evening service on May the 1st. And the presence of the Lord fell on the place. Now, for some of us, we would recognize it as a bit nostalgic in that the first manifestation was laughter. How many of you remember that? The revival from 94. And I thought, well, this looks familiar. As a matter of historical record, I want to recount some of these things because I want to watch what's happening in the months to come. I'm going to go on record with you and say this. I believe the Lord has said to me personally that this is not a visitation. It's a threshold through which we're passing. And so there's a new normalcy for us that's coming into play. But on that particular evening, we had a couple of young ladies really being significantly impacted by the manifest presence of the Lord. Now, for those of you who are somewhat new to us, I will say this, that it is possible to experience the presence of God in a tangible way. It's more than saying where two or three are gathered together in His name, there I am in the midst of them. It's more than saying, you know, God is omnipresent, in that He is everywhere at all time. There are occasions, and quite frankly around here, frequently, most often, the presence of the Lord is a discernible phenomenon in the atmosphere. And a good many of us have had our organs of perceptions tuned to discern both good and evil. So we can say to you that we can sense the presence, and then we can see the impact of the manifest presence. The impact that particular night was laughter initially, and then another phenomenon, a healing phenomenon that began. Many of you know who Michelle Reynolds is. She's the one of the flute players up here. That particular night, she was in some serious distress. She reported to us that for the last 2 weeks she'd had trouble standing erect or lifting her arm to play her flute. And that particular night, as these two girls were doing carpet time, we call it, they were down on the floor, Michelle lay down as well simply because of the pain in her back. And so I said to Megan Bull, who was seriously under the influence of the presence of God, I said, just put your hand on her and pray for her. God will heal her. Well, Megan slipped her hand under the small of her back, and within a short period of time, Michelle says, Pastor, I've got to turn over. Her hand is so hot, I'm starting to sweat. And so she rolled over on her stomach, and for the next several minutes, we watched as the Lord completely restored her to a pain-free status. Also, she declared during that visitation of healing in that moment that she felt the bones in her back being adjusted. She'd had an automobile accident, been involved in one a couple years before, and related that there had been some kind of distress in her back since she was a child. Well, one of the interesting things to me about that particular moment was that as Michelle was saying, the pain is gone, Megan was saying, my arms are cooling down. Because Megan's ear, neck, face, arms, and hand had gotten very, very flushed as the heat of God came on her in that healing phenomenon. I sat Mr. Dobson down. He was with us. He had a shoulder that had been bothering for a while. Megan put her hand up on him, and immediately her hand began to turn red again. Within a few moments, he had no pain remaining. Peggy Jarbo was sitting there with us with a distressed tendon up on her shoulder. Been bothering her for a good while. Within a few moments, she had no more pain. And they remain pain-free to this day, to the best of my knowledge. Now, those things catch my attention. When the Lord starts to do things that you see in the book, something happens in your expectancy. And so we have been, for the last several weeks, pursuing understanding in the grace of God concerning these things. I have been, I've become quite a nuisance to some folks because I keep asking them to write these things down. I want to document what's going on because one of the things that has caught my attention, and I'm going to address it in greater length this morning, but one of the things that's caught my attention over a period of years is how people with physical distress, obvious symptoms and pain, can come into the presence of the Lord, experience complete relief, go on their way in a short time period, later they are re-engaged with those symptoms. We've been asking the Lord for understanding, pursuing the Scripture and discovering some very interesting things that I'll begin to report this morning, and we'll have to develop over time as the Lord gives us grace and more experience. But I have I've been after this stuff for a couple of decades plus now, and there are some things that I've seen and learned that I want to attempt to report to us, because I believe we're in a learning moment. How many of you know when God's doing healing, it's not the time to be talking about tithing? If you're in a healing grace, that's the moment to be examining the Scripture concerning healing, because the Lord will give you both the principle and the experience for the specific purpose of changing your mind. What did I tell you our goal was this year? To change your mind. Now, that means that your mind needs to go through a metamorphosis, that your mind should be transformed by the renewing of the Word. Now, I want to say to you, and I'll develop this later on in the summer. God's gotten kind of ahead of my schedule of presentations, but that's okay. We'll work with His schedule. But having your mind transformed, having it renewed by the Word, does not mean sitting around in quiet time and going, oh, that's an interesting scripture. I never saw that before. Because you close the book and you walk away, and having looked in the mirror, you quickly forget what manner of man you are. Having your mind transformed means it goes through a process that leaves it in a different place than it was before the experience with God. Do you understand? If I can read the Bible, and I believe I can, the Christian life is supposed to be an experience, not a theological predisposition, not a system of doctrines that I hold dear in my brain. But it should be the living revelation of the living God in a living way on an ongoing basis. And when He does that, we should be changed by it. How many of you know that you have a testimony about when you were born again? You were changed by that encounter, weren't you? And others of us have come to the table of healing and not been changed by it, because we've not known how to respond. Or when God did something, we had no idea why He did it. I'm looking for a more intelligent response, a more informed future than we've had in the past. So, I'm committed to road testing the anointing. What do you think of that? We had somebody recently who was sharing that they had disobeyed the Lord by not delivering a word of knowledge. They didn't deliver it because inside they didn't think God would actually use them. They didn't think they could actually hear from God. And after the fact, they found out by speaking to the person for whom they thought they were to pray, they had hit it on the head. But they didn't do anything about it. So we had to deal with what was taking place inside their skin. The reasons that people disqualify themselves from obeying God. I've learned that there is a phenomenon called impartation. Impartation can be both deliberate. Paul says to Timothy, stir up the gift within you that came by the laying on of hands of the presbytery, and prophecy. Also, impartation can be almost unconscious. You can be in the atmosphere, catch something, and it will begin to operate in your life. Now, specifically, I want to take a look at several passages of Scripture to support, to give us a basis upon which to lay some of the things God is doing. I'm going to start in 2 Kings chapter 2. This is the story concerning Elijah and Elisha. When Elijah is taken away into heaven, and Elisha has asked of him a particular thing. Elisha asked of Elijah, after they cross the River Jordan, they walk up to the River Jordan, Elijah takes off his mantle and he strikes the water, and the river parts, and they cross over on dry land, and they get to the other side. The river closes up again and goes on its merry way. And Elijah says to Elisha, what thing would you ask of me? And Elisha said, I want a double portion of your spirit. Elijah said, you've asked a hard thing, but if you see me when I am translated, it shall be given you. Now, what did he ask for? He said, I want a double portion of the spirit that is on you. You see that? Elijah owned something. God had given him something. And Elisha is saying, I'd like to have that. Maybe it's circumstantial that when you read the scripture, you see 9 miracles, notable miracles in the life of Elijah, and you see 18 in the record of Elisha's ministry. Might be some correlation there, what do you think? When he's taken up, my father, he cries. The horsemen of Israel. And what's left laying on the ground? The mantle, the cloak, the robe, the thing that went across his shoulders, more likely is his shawl. Elisha picks it up. He folds it. He goes to the River Jordan and he strikes it. And what does the river do? It opens up. And he comes across to the other side. And then the prophets begin to declare that Elisha has received the anointing that was upon Elijah. Now, that's a clear demonstration of impartation. And the scripture is latent with that stuff. We're told to lay hands on for a very specific reason. That's one of the things that communicates the electricity of the energy of the Holy Spirit into whatever it is you're praying for. Now, back in 1994, I got a call from a friend of mine, a pastor friend, now gone on to be with the Lord, but he was pastoring in Washington, North Carolina. And he called me with a certain measure of excitement. He had been to a meeting in Greenville, North Carolina, that was hosted by a pastor who had received into his congregation a man who had been to a meeting in Florida that was hosted by Rodney Howard Brown. Y'all remember that name? Some of you will. Rodney Howard Brown was holding a series of meetings at Carpenter's Church down in Florida, and somebody from North Carolina went there, who then went to a church in Greenville, North Carolina, to the church of a friend of his, and what was going on in Florida broke out in Greenville. And so the pastor who visited what was going on in Greenville told my friend who went to Greenville, and when he came back to his house, what was going on in Florida that was going on in Greenville started in his church. They caught something in the atmosphere. So I called my friend Mahesh Chand and I said, "Have you heard about this thing?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "What do you know about it?" "I don't have a lot to say about it. I haven't been there." I said, "Well, I'm going there. You want to go?" So we rendezvoused down in North Florida. Patty and I, my wife and I went. Two other folks from the congregation, two ladies, drove down to sit through a week of meetings with us. And in that week of meetings, my mind was offended. And my spirit became desperately hungry for whatever God was doing in that hour. So we spent the week under that anointing, being prayed for, having hands laid on us. And then we came home on January the 16th, 1994, and we told what we saw. We reported what we had heard and what we'd seen. And then we said, "So, if you're willing, we'll pray for you." So the four of us started praying, and we prayed about twice a day for the next 10 months, morning and evening. We found ourselves in a visitation of God. And frankly, we had no idea what we were doing. Now, I had some frame of reference just from experience, travel, having been mentored in certain things, but that was a fresh thing that the Lord was doing. And it was quite phenomenal. I can say with certainty that what Prague is at its foundation was altered and enlarged by that 10-month visitation. More recently, God began to come in this issue of just free healing grace. Just showed up 1st of May in a pronounced way. We've probably had more physical healings in the last 5 weeks than we have seen in the last 15 months. And the testimonies continue to come in. Now, one of the things we can attribute to this imaging thing that Alexia referred to in her testimony, many of us have begun to see things in the Spirit as we've started to pray for others. And you've heard some of those testimonies already. You'll recall Tina Freese's testimony of her knee and what we went through in that moment in time. There's some other things to share today. I have this opinion about what took place on May the 14th in this room. We had, as our guest, a man who moves very powerfully in healing prayer and deliverance. And one of the things that, if you read any of his material, you'll discover is he doesn't do anything that he doesn't see the Father doing. The Lord has taught him how to see in the realm of the Spirit. We caught that weekend. He did not lay hands on me, but it's been functioning virtually every day since May the 14th. And I have heard the testimonies of numerous others of you who are seeing things as you pray. And when what you see is finished, what you have in front of you is changed. Knees, backs, ankles, wrists, necks, female distresses, female organ distresses. I don't even know all the stories because they don't get to me right away. Jesus had the same problem. 1 in 10 lepers came back to tell him that something had happened. But the thing I want to point out to us is this. It is my considered opinion that we're crossing a threshold into a dimension of the Spirit that's going to put us in the place where we actually begin to see the works of Jesus routinely. And not from special speakers. Understand it. People sitting next to you smiling or standing here representing the Lord, and God's doing things through their hands. We've got some stories to share with you, but I want to ask you this. What should you do when the Lord grants you a grace? How liberal should you be with it? Now, there is a history in the church where we hide those things. We merchandise them. We let it be our calling card. If you want the great healer to come, you have to guarantee so many $1,000s up front, etc. It's actually been reported to me firsthand about a father and son team that are crisscrossing the country and charging you $150 a pop for a deliverance session. Now, I'm sure the Lord has some things to say about that. I'm sure He sees more clearly than I on that, but I guarantee you it ain't going to happen here. If I can remember correctly, the Lord commissioned the apostles and He sent them out to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, preach the gospel of the kingdom, and He said this, freely you have received, freely give. I mean, it's the intention of the Lord that every believer would lay hands on and they would see the sick healed. That's His intention from the time you come into the kingdom. Now, I want to spend some time on the issue of testimony, because I know that testimony has a faith-inciting effect. When you hear... Let me ask it this way. How many of you have actually ever been healed of something? I'm one of those. Look around. This will encourage you. Now, let me ask those of you who have your hands up. How many of you have an expectancy in you that God will heal someone of the same thing from which you were healed? There's a kind of look. If He'll do it for me, I have every confidence He'll do it for you, right? So what should you be doing? You should be expecting God to heal that same thing through whom? Through you. Right. All right. For instance, where's Danny Hartwell? Oh, I'm sorry. Danny, you come on up here, but I'm going to start with Tim. Tim, come tell me about your condition.
About 17 years ago, I was playing racquetball, and I suffered a whiplash injury that at first I just brushed off and didn't give any thought to until I developed into a pinched nerve, and I finally went to a chiropractor, and he said I had osteoarthritis and degenerative nerve disease, and my vertebrae were growing together on the fifth and the sixth vertebrae. And so for the last 17 years, I've had a royal pain in the neck, and been one on occasion to boot. But I've received treatment with the chiropractor off and on for those 17 years. Sometimes it's okay. Other times it's really bad with the pinch in my shoulder and the numbness in my fingers. And it requires constant treatment. It's almost always, I could just feel in the vertebrae, there's just a tender spot where it's always in pain. So that's been my condition for the last 17 years.
Okay, Danny, you were healed of some circumstance in your neck a while back, right?
That's true.
What was it?
The same vertebrae, fifth and sixth in the middle. I was up in New Jersey. I went to a meeting one night. It was a healing meeting, and there was a lady there who was an evangelist, and boy, the power of God was just setting down. But it wasn't her. It was her assistant. She came over to me and said, if you want heal, go up. And I had an operation, but it made, if anything, it made matters worse. My neck always hurt. Now, you know the people that when they lay hands on them, they'll fall back. I've always kind of not really felt like that was for me. Matter of fact, people pushed against me, and I braced myself. I'm not going to fall back. I've never fallen back in my life. Macho. Anyway, she came up to me.
You can resist the Holy Spirit with the best of them. I hear you, brother.
She came up to me, and she looked at me, and she said, I command your neck to be healed. I mean, she didn't know me from Adam. I didn't know her. And she hit me right there, and last thing I remember, I don't remember falling. I just remember looking up at her. I've never been slammed like that before. And she's standing over me, and she's speaking in tongues. And then she started saying, you're Moses. You're Moses. And I'm going, this is heavy, you know, because I know what Moses, I read about him. And she said, you're going to lead your family out of New Jersey. And that's all she said. And I got up, and I'm going, oh, my neck. Never mind leading my family. This feels good, you know. I said, this fifth and sixth vertebrae. But it was healed. And I have not had any pain or in the neck other than when I'm with Tim. Ever since.
And so, last Sunday,
Tim
came to you for prayer?
Yeah. He said he walked up about, and he said, my neck. He started, and all of a sudden, I seen his vertebrae. And it was like something I seen. And what I seen was the fifth and sixth vertebrae touching. And that cartilage in there, I wasn't looking at it, seeing it. I could see it. As I put my hands on, I got to kind of divert here a little bit.
I don't want you to divert. I want you to go with this testimony.
Okay.
This is the point I'm trying to make.
All right. When I reached up and touched it, I felt that heat in the palm of my hands started hitting that. And I wanted to tell about the heat, but I can tell it later, I guess. But anyway, it started burning, and to the point to where I took my palm of my hand off of his neck, and I was touching him with my fingertips. But I felt that vertebrae, and I says, you know, in your neck has been, your vertebrae has been separated, the cartilage has been healed, and I felt just a little pop. It wasn't much, and that was it. And he started going, oh, yeah, that feels good. That feels good. But yeah, that's what I felt. It feels good. And I know it was healed. And I know, but my hand stayed warm for quite a while. But that was my testimony.
Okay. And you're on the receiving end of that.
Well, when I heard all these healing testimonies, I said, I want one too. You know, I want to be healed. I've had this condition that's been a pain in the neck. And usually it's it comes and goes. And so I've never received prayer for it in the past. And so I just went up and said, I want this. You know, almost like the woman reaching out for the hem of his garment. And after Danny prayed this past week, that side of my neck has been completely pain-free. And I've been definitely touched and healed by that.
Thank you, brother. Tim said something I want to underscore, and it's this. He said, I wanted to be healed. Now, it's interesting to me the number of people who come to be prayed for who have not made the decision that they want to be healed. Now, I'm personally flabbergasted by that. But I don't live inside their skin. I have not identified with something for so long that I can't imagine me without it. I have not given myself to some kind of demonic counseling that says it can happen for everybody but me. I want what God's doing, period. If it means fasting and praying, repenting, kneeling, standing on my head, you know, whatever it is, I'm interested in having it to that point. But we're discovering that we have to ask people sometimes 2, 3, 4 times, do you want to be healed? And it's kind of like, accessing, blah, blah, blah. And that just intrigues me. So I call your attention to it before we go to prayer today so that you can find out if you're one of those who will mix faith with the Word, or if you're one of those who comes, as some people do, just to check off the block before they go on to what they'd already decided they were going to do. Another thing that's come to our attention is the something I'm calling the power of agreement. And, you know, the power of agreement is like faith. Faith will work for you, whether it's faith toward God or faith toward disease, faith toward injury. If you have faith toward injury, your injury will exacerbate itself. If you have faith toward the demonic, darkness will increase in your life. Faith works. It's just a matter of the object of your faith. The same is true about agreement. You can agree with God, or you can agree with some other spirit. And I've discovered recently there's an awful lot of God's people agreeing with something other than the Spirit of Truth. And it's been going on so long that we're having to count on the Spirit of God to break in on them, to open their eyes to the deceit that they have embraced. And it's been fascinating, some of the things that we've seen in prayer lately. Recall. Now, let me build your confidence. Recall that Jesus said, I will pray to the Father, and He will give you another comforter, another one just like me, the Spirit of Truth. He will give to you the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it doesn't know Him. But you know Him, and He will be with you and in you. Now, those two things continue. He is both with you and in you. The Spirit of Truth is resident within you. He takes up residence within your inner man. Now, your inner man is not your mind. Do you understand? It is possible to have your mind disagree with the Spirit of Truth that is already in you. It's like a cloud that comes upon you mentally. In certain areas, you're totally free with the Spirit of Truth, and in certain areas, you are in complete disagreement with the revealed will of God concerning you. And it's a fascinating quandary. It allows people to live in the kingdom without actually seeing what's taking place all around them. If the Spirit of Truth is in me, is it possible for me to know the truth? This is a no-brainer. The answer is yes. Clearly, it's possible to have the Spirit of Truth and believe a lie. How many of you have ever been delivered from a lie and then after the fact go, what was I thinking? The truth is you weren't thinking. Because no matter what the Logos said, there was a demonic impediment. It's called the spirit of error. We read about it in 1 John chapter 4, where he writes, Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Does that sound like there's more than one? But test the spirits, plural, to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this, you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, of which you've heard that it's coming, and now it is already in the world. You
are from God, little children, and have overcome them. Them who? Them spirits. You have overcome them. Because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. How many of you have ever said that to yourself? And then had your mind tell you, God cannot do this for me. Which is the truth? Is he that is in you greater than he that is in the world or not? If that's the truth, what's the lie? He can't do it for me. He won't do it for me. I believe he'll do it for them, but he won't do it for me because
he loves them more than he loves me.
And away we go, spinning, 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 out of control, farther into this stupor of darkness. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of what? Error. Now we have to ask ourselves, and this is not just a cognitive drill. As a matter of fact, before we go any farther, I should probably exercise a little bit of authority here. Because unbelief is already at work. Unbelief is already at work. The moment I come near this stuff, that little voice starts coming. Well, you know, he means well. But he just doesn't understand what I'm going through. He doesn't know my situation. God does. And God said he can fix it. So, in the name of Jesus, I'm just going to exercise my authority in the Lord. And say to that lying spirit, shut up. We're not listening to you anymore. In the name of Jesus, shut up. We are not listening to you anymore. But there have been those who have listened. And God has come and brought a sense of wholeness and freedom to them. For instance, you have to ask yourself, with whom am I going to agree? Are you going to agree with the Lord or not? Now, you're a bunch of Christians, so most of you are going to, well, of course we're going to agree. And yet, at the same time, there is lie and deceit that works to steal the power of the truth from you. And you've been in agreement with so long, you don't even know that you're in agreement with it. We have a few such testimonies, don't we, Susan?
Y'all are just learning an awful lot about me lately. Anyway, yes, I mean, most of you heard my testimony about deliverance at that Prayers That Heal the Heart seminar. But I want you to know that my deliverance started before then because I became aware of the fact the Holy Spirit had showed me a picture of myself and who I saw myself as, the lie that I was believing about myself. And he showed it to me in a mirror. And I really was distraught about it because what I saw I didn't like. So I began a battle against that. And the lie that I was believing was so huge. I had this enormous lie about being unworthy and being unaccepted. And it would say things to me like, well, you don't need them anyway. And they don't understand. And now that I'm trying to think of all those lies, I can't. Man, you just roll. I mean, what you don't know is it was very awkward for me and very uncomfortable for me for anything. You saw one person, but who you saw is not who I was because I was believing the lies that the enemy was feeding me constantly about myself. And I mean constantly. I would be at work and there would be a situation. The enemy would come right in. I would listen, buy right into it. And those that were close to me knew, of course, that I was believing the lie and used to say, that's a lie. But I just couldn't quite get it. Now I have it. I realized that that lie prevented me from living a full life. it prevented me from moving freely in the world and going to parties and going to other people's homes to fellowship and enjoying you guys and even being willing to pray for you and to give of myself to you, because I was so condemned. I was so closed in by the lies, you know, and it always sounded just like me. They were my thoughts, but they were always negative thoughts about me. So if you're in one of those places where you're hearing those negative thoughts all the time about yourself, that's a lying spirit, and it's demonic, and you don't have to live in that kind of bondage. I went through that deliverance. I mean, I'm astounded at how, like last week I came up and I was praying for someone, and usually when I would close my eyes and lay my hands on one of you to pray for you, the first thought that would go through my mind would be something like, who do you think you are praying for them? What authority do you think you have to stand here? Didn't you just yell at your kid the other day? You know, didn't you just do this or do that? You know, those thoughts would go through my mind. And last week I went to pray and I laid hands on the person and I heard the voice of the Lord, and he said, my beloved daughter, I'm so proud of you. Watch at what I'm going to do through you. Thank you for coming and serving the body of Christ. It was so different. I was just like, oh, cool. You know, it's a different recording altogether. But I had to make the decision to fight that. I had to decide that I was going to believe the truth about what God said about me and his word, rather than believe the lie that I had believed ever since I was a child.
Millie? Valerie, if you'd be standing by.
I attended the Prayers That Heal the Heart class also. When I came in that Friday night, I was sitting over here in the chairs, and all of a sudden I just started feeling really angry. Like I could just bite somebody's head off. I was just really angry. And then I suddenly realized, well, when I came in, I wasn't angry. I wasn't feeling angry. Nothing had happened. There was no reason for me to be angry. And I realized it was the enemy. So I prayed against that, and it left, and it never came back. What it wanted to do was to get me to leave. Because, lo and behold, one of the things that I got prayer for was being angry. And it was trying to rob me from what the Lord had for me. So Saturday, I had difficulty staying focused. It was almost like a flighty feeling. Like I just had difficulty just staying in and doing what I knew I was supposed to do. So I went up for my prayer time, and I had not done what I was supposed to do. So I was sent back to my chair to do it, and I did what I was supposed to do. Went back up for prayer, and praise God, it was just absolutely awesome. But that Friday night of the class, I went home, couldn't sleep, just hardly slept at all. Saturday night, the same thing, couldn't sleep. And then while I was laying in bed, this very subtle feeling of oppression came, and with it was the thought, well, maybe I wasn't delivered. And immediately my spirit rose up and, oh, no, you don't. We're not going there. And I prayed against that thing, and it left. But I praise God that I didn't welcome it back and give the enemy back that foothold. Well, when I was going through deliverance, some of the things that I was praying against were poverty and believing that because my family was poor, and everybody in the generations of my family have been poor, and that I would never have the money to do anything. I prayed against the feelings of worthlessness. And in worthlessness, when someone or something happens that triggers that thing, then it begins to comfort you and justify your feelings. Justifies I'm not worth anything. God's going to use everybody else. He's going to work through them, but he's not going to work through me. Or, you know, I can't be like other people and have friendships and relationships because I'm just worthless. Isolation. The spirit of isolation causes you to withdraw. And about, it was back during the time of the revival. I would always come into church and you'd usually find me in the back, especially when we had events. And I was sitting in the chairs back there that the ushers sit in. That's about as close as you can get to the door. And as I was sitting there, the Lord showed me how rejection was operating in me. He showed me that the spirit of rejection would come up and just fit over me like a glove and comfort me and make me feel warm, and that I was justified in leaving. I would then flee, and I wouldn't go into groups. I wouldn't be around people. And it has still been difficult for me to do that. But then I went through the deliverance, and now I find myself saying, I can do this. When I feel that apprehension, I go, I can do this. And the emotional abandonment that came along with that as a child, I was the one that didn't need attention, so I was just left there as a middle child. And that emotional abandonment. And again, that all goes along with the rejection and the worthlessness and the anger and the self-pity. When you're feeling worthless, you're feeling rejected, self-pity is another one of those spirits that can comfort you and make you feel like you're okay feeling. You're justified in feeling the way you feel because it's what has carried you through all these years. And you don't really know that that's what that is, but it really justifies you. And then the last one was fear. And the fact that I'm standing here with a microphone is definitely a testimony that's not as operating in my life. At home, let me go back to this. I was praying for someone a couple of weeks ago. I had my hand on their back praying for them. And then there's a subtle thought. God doesn't answer your prayers. He's not going to answer your prayers. Why are you praying for somebody? God's not going to answer your prayers. And the spirit rose up in me and truth came up in me, and like, how silly is that? I mean, I've been to conferences and I've been up here and prayed for people, and I know the Lord worked through me and he touched people's lives, and that is a lie from the pit of hell. And I just took authority over that thing, and then I immediately felt the presence of the Holy Spirit immediately. And then I was in the house Friday or Saturday, and I was in the kitchen doing dishes and thinking about this morning and thinking about how I would probably have to be up here praying for people, and immediately the thought came, God doesn't work through me. God's not going to touch people through me. And then immediately the Spirit, the truth, stood up and said, yes, God does work through me. And then right behind that, I had the understanding, the discernment, that I had been listening to the spirit of doubt and unbelief. And so I went through the same process we did through the Prayers That Heals the Heart class and repented for that, repented for walking in that, and stood against it. And it took two times to stand against that thing until it left. And afterwards, I just wanted to laugh and laugh and laugh. And I saw Jesus and I together. And one of the things that I have noticed since going through the Prayers That Heal the Heart class is that I feel happy. I feel smiling on the inside which I have never felt before. And I just praise God.
Now, I want to give you an opportunity for something. I know that the spirit of some of you is responding to what Millie has just said. And I want to invite you to come sit right here on the front and begin to present yourself to the Lord. We'll come to you in a little bit with prayer. But I want you to just take your act of faith right now. Just move right up here. And we'll come to begin praying for you. There's several of you that the Lord has pointed out to me. So come on up here and sit, because today you are going to be set free. In the name of Jesus, I promise you. Don't be intimidated. I know there's one or two more of you that are supposed to be up here. All right, Dee.
Hi. I had to write mine down because I was afraid I was going to forget something or go out on a tangent and get reprimanded. Pastor Lanny talked to me about coming up here and speaking about some of the changes that have been happening in my life and describing them. And I started thinking, how do I describe the change in me? Imagine knowing you are ill, seriously ill, and no one knows what is wrong. You have all these symptoms, some obviously related, while others are not, yet each symptom just annoying enough to be noticed. Sometimes only by me, and others affecting my life more completely than I ever realized. Now imagine that some doctor not only can diagnose the illness, but also can remove the problem. Sure, there may be some weakness in the areas that are not in use, and those muscles will have to be trained and strengthened. However, despite that pain that may be involved, there is now a light at the end of the tunnel. You can have hope, and that isn't something new. There has always been a feeling of unworthiness. It is not that I do not believe God loved me, but something made me think or feel that I was not good enough for His work. My mom once told me that she felt that God had something special for me, and I never really believed that. When I heard God, I didn't realize it was Him, and even when He gave confirmation, I couldn't believe it. The last few years, I've been going through a rough season and wanted so desperately to be used by Him. I always felt like the unwanted child, someone who was part of the family, His family, because I had to be accepted. I kept praying for Him to show me what I was doing wrong. Because of things I had done or things done to me, I felt so hurt by God. The typical why me was there. I know many of these things that happened to me were the consequences of my own bad choices, choices that either I thought was better than what God planned, or things that I did to spite Him. For many years, I was so angry with God. Even as I reached to Him, I was angry. Lately, I couldn't come in here and sing during worship, and when I could, I found myself crying. I couldn't seem to reach Him. I felt so alone and angry. In the past few years, He revealed some memories of past hurts that were not healed. God finally called me out on it. Someone here came up and said someone was angry at God and they were pushing Him away. I knew He was talking to me. That was when the healing began. I remember going to the Communion with God seminar. I was literally shocked to find out that what I was hearing, that still small voice, was God. Sometimes I would listen and act, but I was so unsure. Now I knew, and I wanted to know more. But when they came to the part about the visions, I would panic. I didn't want to see. I might see something that I didn't want to see. I might see that I wasn't worthy. I tried going to the classes, and once again, during the worship, I would ache. I would feel so apart. I couldn't even journal because every time I tried to, I would get anxious and panic. Something was holding me back and I was going to have to deal with it. I tried and God did reveal some of the problem. The major one was that I believe God turned His back on me as a child during a traumatic experience. This was something I had consciously blocked but had been affecting me and what I did with my life. I went to the prayer Prayers That Heal the Heart seminar in hopes I would find the help I needed. During the seminar, I couldn't complete an assignment. I was stuck with the words, "I trust God, but," and He is always there, but. And as I left for lunch, I signed up for prayer that was to take place after the afternoon session. Even then, Satan tried to keep me away. I left at lunch to do a notary job and locked my keys in the van. Everyone I normally would call was at the seminar. I was ready to call a locksmith and go home, to give up. Then I thought I would try Prague just once, and sure enough, Lanny answered and ended up coming to my rescue. Did I mention it was in Piney Point? Anyway, I came back, and it came time to pray, and I stayed back. Finally, I couldn't run any longer, and Edwin and another lady cornered me. That doesn't seem fair to say, since it wasn't cornered technically, but that is how I felt. God, the loving Father and healer that He is, guided them and showed them exactly what was wrong. They had me picture that incident and look around. That was something I had been so afraid to do. I was afraid I wouldn't really see Him there, and that He wasn't there. Then they finally helped me have the strength to look around, and Jesus was there in that room, and He was crying for me. After that, we were able to rid me of demons of depression, condemnation, anxiety, and fear. One by one, they fled, and I knew, finally, that it was all a lie I lived with and accepted, a lie I embraced. Actually, I not only embraced them, but for years I fed and nurtured them. That Sunday, I was so overjoyed during worship, for once in a long time, the feeling of anguish and loneliness was gone, and I cried no more.
Now, folks, there's a big difference between no longer being in bondage to sin because the Spirit of God has come and you are now in liberty. There's a big difference between that and being free. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. He wants us free. We can't be free if we're going to agree with a lie. Now, there's another interesting element of agreement, the things that are contrary to truth. And I've asked Valerie to share a portion of her testimony because it is not as subjective as some of the stories you've heard. Now, I realize there are people who say there is no God. Okay, but I'm here to tell you there is. I met Him. I know that there are people who say that God no longer baptize people in the Holy Ghost and they speak with other tongues. Okay, I know there are people who say that, but I'm not one of them because I hero kaposti shnella rotunda as a Baptist. That was my graduation from being a Baptist, but. I know that there are people who say that God doesn't heal, but I've been there when He did it, you know. And we have folks who have stood in front of you today and testified to the change. So people can say whatever they want to, but if you want to know God, I'm here to tell you, He can be found. You want freedom, it can be had. If you want healing, He will supply it. Valerie. Now, I want you to at least start with the Saturday afternoon yard work.
Memorial Day weekend was a beautiful weekend, if you remember, and perfect for getting out in the yard, which I love to do. It's my therapy. But every time I do yard work, I can almost guarantee I'm going to pull a muscle in my back, which I did. Immediately, I wasn't in a lot of pain, but I went to bed that night, and the pain grew progressively worse and worse to such a degree that I could not roll over in bed and I could not sit up. I had to wake up my husband and he had to physically come around to my side of the bed, put his hands behind my back and raise me up so I could sit up in bed. Once I was up and moving around a little bit, the pain was not as severe, and we ended up coming on to church. On the way, some of you will remember last Sunday when I came in, my face was bright red because I was having an allergic reaction to something, which I'm convinced was the enemy trying to keep me away, because God had healing for me. It was the worst reaction I've ever had, and I don't know what it was to this time, but nonetheless, we came, and my back pain was coming and going. I wasn't in excruciating pain anymore, but I ended up having to stand in the back of the church the whole service last week because it was so uncomfortable to sit. I came up for prayer and was prayed for and experienced some relief, but no, it wasn't earth-shattering, but still I claimed my healing and I accepted it and was feeling better. And then I went downstairs for fellowship later, and the pain was still coming and going, and I was talking to Pastor Lanny about it a little bit, and he's been experiencing the heat in the hand phenomena. And so he prayed for me again. He put his hand on my back, and the heat was really intense. It was very warm. And I was in agreement with him, and the pain left completely. I was able to bend over and move freely and felt great. Everything was fine. So Dan and I went home for the afternoon, and periodically the pain would come back, and I would speak to it in the name of Jesus and refuse to accept it back. I'm healed, and I am not going to allow Satan to steal that from me. And it would go away. A little bit later, it would come back, and I would repeat the process. So that evening, we came back to the evening service. And during the course of that service, Lady asked if there were several, Rebecca asked, who needed to be healed, or to be prayed for, rather. And I had mentioned that I would like to be prayed for again because I thought, well, maybe I just need to be prayed for one more time for this to really be taken care of. And there were several other people who needed prayer, so we were praying for them. And during the course of that, where we were praying for others, I just really felt like God was telling me, you know, I didn't need to be prayed for one more time. I just needed to stop agreeing with the enemy that every time I do yard work or every time I do specific exercises, I'm going to throw my back out. And that's what I've been saying, you know, and it's like Lanny said, you know, what you believe, that's what's going to come about. So I had to confess that I'd been agreeing with the enemy, and I had to repent of that. And after that happened, the pain was gone and has not returned. And will not return. Yes.
You did some more yard work the next day.
Yes, I did. Yes, because I figured, you know what, if God's really healed me, I should be able to do normal activities like that without pain. And so I did, and I'm fine.
Amen.
Now, I want you to understand that there's a difference between having a great story about a touch from God and having your mind transformed. We've been telling great stories for years without getting the nutrients from the story that's designed to alter the way we see our lives. God is doing specific things in His people to set them free at a variety of levels. There's one more little thing I want to bring to your attention simply because I just discovered it. I have read the New Testament through several times in the course of my almost four decades of being a Christian, and it amazes me the number of things you still don't see. Now, I want to bring this to your attention for this reason. Your faith will operate on the basis of what you know. The truth does not set you free.
All right? You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's the truth you know that sets you free. Until you know that truth, it's just truth and it won't serve you. Now, you have heard, even recently, about the phenomenon of what happens when a demon is cast out. And we've quoted this stuff to you. The demon says, I will return to my house from which I came. So what does he consider you? His house. Now you have to ask the question, who's going to live in my house? All right? I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes back and he finds it put in order and empty, he returns with some of his friends. And the latter estate of that person is worse than the first. So how many of you know leaving it empty is not a good idea? All right. So now in that context, we have taught for a long, long time, Mark 11:22-23. Whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he says will come to pass, he'll have them. All right? It starts out, Jesus says, have faith in God. Okay? And then you speak what God is speaking. Now, we'll deal more on this issue of what God speaks at a later time. And so you've heard several testimonies today of people saying, oh, no, you don't either. Now, that's the right stand to take, okay? You should take that stand. But let me offer you something else that the Lord just awakened me to. And it has to do with a deliverance situation in Mark chapter 9, verse 25. It's the story of the father bringing the mute son. And when Jesus saw that a crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him. And do not enter him again. Now, Jesus doesn't make stuff up. He does what he sees the Father doing. Let me suggest to us that as we pray, we should be open to hearing the Lord say, and do not trouble them again. Now, if he doesn't say that, what do? We go back to our fallback position of speaking to your knees, speaking to your back, speaking to that spirit. Oh, no, you don't either. I have been set free. In Jesus' name, shut up. I am not listening to you anymore. That's a good phrase. I coined that one. I like it. People use it. It works. All right. Now then, consider this. There are those here. Is Joel here this morning? Joel's not here. Joel's a fine young man who had difficulty in his knee. And I think I told some of you, I may have said it publicly, I don't remember, that a couple of Sunday, two or three Sunday nights ago, Maria Matthews came forward for prayer for her left knee. Joel also had trouble with his left knee. He prayed until she was free and he was free, and that week they both had symptoms return. In fact, by the time I prayed for him the following Sunday, both of his knees were acting up. Both of his knees got healed. I just wanted to check. I haven't seen him all week. Just wanted to check and see how he's doing. But the Lord came through in a visionary way, restored complete motion, no pain, no distress, etc. But I want to say this to those of you who are fighting this issue of recurring symptoms. Now, I'll be the first to admit that if you don't understand the spirit in which I say these things, I sound like a moron. Okay? Take the tape out, pitch it out the window as you drive along the road. However, we happen to be in a season of grace where things are real. This is not pretend. This is not make-believe. I'm not asking you to go someplace. You meet people where they are at their level of faith until God moves them to another level of faith. So for those of you who are still struggling with symptoms, or those of you who are seated here in the front row are not going to be struggling with a lie, you might have to rebuke it a couple of times in the next 72 hours. But for those of you who are laboring with these things, do not automatically assume you're doing something wrong. I've had several people tell me that. I must be doing something. No. Jesus is doing everything right. He's teaching us. This is one of the best training times we're going to have access to in a long, long time. I mean, the Lord is here and He's teaching us. So as these things come, just continue to thank Him for the touch. Continue to resist the symptom. And remember the prayer for the blind man. Jesus spit on his eyes and asked, could he see? And he said, I see men as trees walking. I'm beginning to see, in other words. And so Jesus prayed for him again, and he could see clearly. So we'll just stay after this because we're learning these things together. Do not fall prey to condemnation. Well, I went up there and I heard all they said and I stood there. Nothing happened. Listen, come again. Because there's a lot of stuff at work to keep you in bondage. And the Lord will give us the word of freedom because that's who He is. That's who our Father is. So let's just stay after this stuff. Write your testimonies down, please. The things you experience, the things that God is doing, because we want to not only journal this, we want to understand what's happening in these things. There's someone with whom I wish to speak, but they're not here today, because when I went to pray for them on a particular issue, what I saw was a demonic circumstance. And when I drove that thing out, there should have been change, and I haven't had a chance to hear back from them. So I'm interested in the follow-up on this because there are things to be learned in this moment. The principle of impartation can happen today. You can catch the anointing. We can have lay hands on you as the thing is working in the atmosphere. You can just walk out of here with it. Some of you on the front row here, you're going to have to recant what you have agreed with. You're going to have to open your mouth, acknowledge it as a lie, recant of it, repent of having believed it, tell it to go. It is no longer welcome in your house. And then we'll have somebody pray with you to break the power of that thing. We'll ask God to fill that area of your life so there's no empty spot left. But the thing that I suppose is most important in this season is that each of us become proactive about being free, about being healed. Don't expect someone to do it for you. You have a measure of faith. Put it in the pot with the faith that's working on your behalf. Let's take a stand and declare it and see what God will do. And I'm not talking about, understand, I'm not talking about by His stripes you're healed. Just confess. I'm not saying it. God is giving us grace to see, speak, and change. So let's fully avail ourselves of that. Danny and Tim, y'all need to be up here to pray for neck condition. How many of, several of you raised your hands that you've been healed of different things and you believe God would heal others for it? Who was that? All right, you in the front row are released for the moment. Jay, what do you believe God for? Shoulders. All right, come up here. Louise? Stomach and ulcers. Come up here. Who else? There was a potload of you. Now you're afraid to pray for somebody, aren't you? Rebuke that lie that Jesus won't do it through you. Who else? Backs, come on up here. Has anybody got any kind of pain that's not shoulders, stomach, necks, or backs with you this morning? You brought it with you. Yours is? Your left hip. That's bones. Good. Come on over here and let these folks pray for you. Those of you who are in distress, go ahead and stand up. If you brought a physical need with you, come up here and let's pray for it. Watch God heal it. Don't everybody get healthy. I still need lots of folks to pray for. We're training time, okay? Bring some of your sick friends so we've got more people, would you? Now, those of you who are coming prepared for prayer, let me encourage you to face those who are going to pray for you. Just come right over here and get in front of somebody. All right. Those of you who have been set free in deliverance, those of you who were prayer counselors during that deliverance time, I got a whole potload, a whole bunch of folks here who need you. So come set them free. Spirit of the Lord is here. Well, I can tell you from up here He is. And what that means is there's liberty here for us. Okay? Russell, you're praying with me today. Huh? Yeah, Jamie, if you'd come join Mary. Who else did I team up? Who did I give you, Susan? Dee, oh, there you are, right. There's your partner. Yes, by all means, come up here and pray, for heaven's sakes.